Today, we're going to continue our series on the new year, the new you. And today, we're going to look at it from a little different angle. We all have three different things in life, time frames that we get to work with, and that's the past, the present, and the future. And I believe that every now and then, we need to take some time in our life to reevaluate, and we need to get our life organized. If we don't take that time to get organized, sometimes our life can get really out of control. Now, one thing I heard about people doing that helps them to get organized is at the beginning of the year, they'll take all their clothes and they'll turn their hangers around backwards in their closet. And then during the year, as they wear the clothes and they put them back in the closet, they turn the hanger around the other way. And then when the next year rolls around, whatever clothes that are left in the closet that have not been turned around, they get rid of. Now, I know as Christians, sometimes we have the faith area, right? That faith area in our closet where we believe God that we're going to lose weight and we're going to fit back in those clothes. Now, that's a totally different area. As a matter of fact, my faith area, I finally got to the place where I started to put them in a box just so I'd have more room in my closet. And then as I lose weight, I pull them out of the box and then I put them back into my closet. I believe that as well as we need to kind of clean our closet out sometimes, that sometimes there's things in our life that are keeping us back from getting to God's best, and we need to deal with those and maybe get rid of them. The scripture that the Lord dropped on my heart today is Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. It says, "Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay a hold of that which was also laid a hold by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time together that we have. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be here. Holy Spirit, I yield to the gift that you put inside of me. I use it for your glory and not my own. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind you, Satan, from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As I mentioned, we all have three different times in our life that we get to deal with. The past, the present, and the future. Now, before we jump into that, I want to recap a little bit about what we talked about last week. Remember last week, we mentioned the fact that 2016 for River Life Family Worship Center is going to be the year of the Spirit. We need to get to know the Holy Spirit better. And in this first series, we talked a little bit about the idea of regeneration and renewing. Because God is the God of the do-overs, right? We all need do-overs in our life. We looked at that and explored that idea a little bit. And we also come to an understanding that it's not about what we have done, because our salvation is not based on performance. You know, many times in our culture, we get performance-oriented, meaning that we judge everything we do compared to other people and how we stack up against them. But God's salvation is not like that. Now, on the other hand, the blessings can be based on performance sometimes. Now, we can pray for mercy, and I thank God for mercy, but I don't live in mercy. I believe it's smarter to walk in obedience by the grace that God gives you. And we walk in obedience, then the blessings of God are going to chase us down. So that's why we got to the idea of what the regeneration's about. To me, it reminds me of a tree. You know, a tree goes through the dormant stage in the winter, and sometimes we feel kind of dormant in our life. But yet, as we know, when spring comes, there's all of a sudden, out of that dead-looking little tree, all of a sudden some buds come forth, and that's the new life. And really, that's the life that Jesus Christ has come to give us, and that's why we get that fresh start. And the role that the Holy Spirit plays in regeneration at the new birth, when Jesus Christ comes into our life to change our life. Well, after we're saved, God just doesn't leave us there, but He wants us to go farther with Him. And that's where it comes into the idea of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the next part that God is doing in each of our lives. And it started the day that we were saved. And it's going to continue on until the time that we either go to be with Him or He comes to get us. And that's what we sometimes are fearful about, is that in between. We talked about sometimes we're in between. We're here, but we know we need to be over there, but we're not there yet. But we're going to get there. And as we understand that, then we know that God's going to lead us and guide us. And that's why we really need to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. So our first point today that we're going to look at is the idea that we all have a past. Each and every person here listening to my voice today has a past. Even the Apostle Paul had a past. Remember, he said he forgets what lays behind. Well, what are some of the things the Apostle Paul wanted to forget? Well, number one, remember, he persecuted the church. He held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death. And he was hardly in agreement. And he went around, he was persecuting the church and arresting Christians and, you know, wanting to put them in jail. And many of them maybe were put to death. You know, that was a part of his history. That's a tough history. Now, I personally have never killed anybody. I've tried to kill myself from time to time. Some of the decisions I've made, stupid decisions. But I've never really tried to kill anybody else. And I don't plan to. But the Apostle Paul had that on his conscience. But he put that behind him. Also, you know, we think that everything in church and ministry is all perfect all the time, but it's not. The Apostle Paul was in ministry with Barnabas, and Barnabas had extended him the right hand of fellowship in life. And as they were ministering together, you know, Barnabas wanted to bring along John Mark, but, you know, John Mark, you know, maybe had failed them, and maybe he was kind of wimpier a little bit, and he was young in the ministry, and, you know, he just maybe couldn't handle it. And Barnabas wanted to bring him along, but Paul didn't want to. And so they got in a big argument. The argument got so bad that they decided to separate from each other. Paul took Silas and went one direction, and Barnabas took John Mark and went another way. And I'm sure that weighed on him, because as he's trying to tell people to be able to follow Christ and live like Christ's example, that he himself was not Christ's example all the time. So I'm sure he wanted to put that behind him. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus that we can put these sort of things behind us. Because as we understand that we all have a past, you know, we can learn that it's a valuable key to our lives, so that we understand what it is we can learn from, so maybe not to repeat it again. Another thing Paul did, as well as put things behind him, is that he lived with an expectation. An expectation of a better tomorrow. Now, a lot of us don't have an expectation in life. We just kind of go through life and just put in our time and move here and there and kind of get things done and make sure we got every base covered. And we don't really live with that aggressive lifestyle that we expect that God's going to do something great in our life. We need to have that expectation that we know that each and every day is an opportunity to walk with God and to serve God. And as we do that, we know that we're going to start to grow in Christ and start to see better things happen in our life. Now, one thing about our past, if we don't choose or learn how to forget it, it can have a large effect on how we live our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of us, from time to time, we have damaged dreams and cataclysmic circumstances that come into our life. And they take its toll. It undermines our faith. It erodes us to get us to pull back. Instead of pressing on and to living with expectation, we start to lose hope and we decide to pull back. But I found out the only way that we can change our past is to not repeat it in the future. We need to purpose in our heart not to repeat our past. There's an old saying that I read that history repeats itself because no one was paying attention the first time. And I believe that's what happens as we go through the process of life and the different seasons of life. We get so busy, we're chasing after all these things, and that we don't really monitor the situation and find out what's working and what's not working, and then we have a tendency to make the same old mistakes again. Well, as well as that, the fact we've had a past, we also have a future. I'm going to look at the future here before I look at the present. And there's a reason for that. Now, I don't know about you, but the future is hard to see sometimes. And even sometimes, it's kind of hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine what it is that God has for us. Now, we all know, if we've read the Bible and looked to the back of the book, that God has promised us all a great future in heaven. And I long for that day. that day when I go to be with Jesus and I be able to live with him for all eternity. But I want to ask a question. Do we feel we have to wait until we get to heaven before we can have a great future? Is our future here so bleak that we don't really expect good things to happen to us down here? Now, I want to encourage you right now, before you throw in the towel, perhaps we should consider breaking the mold. Now, we all know what a mold is. Now, when I was a little kid, sometimes Grandma would make Jell-O, and she'd use these little molds and stuff, and they come out in cute little shapes. Or maybe you've had made cookies, and you get out a cookie cutter, and you just keep stamping that. And if you keep stamping that same cookie with that same mold, all the cookies pretty much come out the same. And see, if we live with that same mold in our life, thinking we're going to have the same expectation day in and day out, nothing's going to change. So that's why we need to break the mold. Now, God tells us in Scripture that he has given us a future as well as a hope. God has a future for you and I. He has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life. I don't know what the plan is for your life, but God does. That's why we need to get to know God. Now, a lot of people just take chances and, you know, figure, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But that's not really true all the time. We can go through a lot of grief, heartache, and woe because we have not learned how to follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truth. Remember the children of Israel? God gave them an opportunity. They went in to spy out the land, and 12 of them went in. 2 came back with a good report. 10 of them came back with a bad report. The people chose to listen to the 10, and they spent 40 years walking in circles in the wilderness, and they died there, never getting to go in to taste the grapes. All the things that God had prepared for them and said that was theirs, I'm giving this to you, they chose to walk in fear and to stay with that old slave mentality that they had, they brought from Egypt, because it had been ingrained in them by the Egyptians, and put that fear in them that they're never going to have anything. They're always going to have that slave mentality. And that mold had to be broken in the new generation that came up. And that was a generation that was able to go in and to start to partake in the promised land. And I wanted to challenge us. Are we that generation? Are we the generation that's going to go in? And the best way we do it is to follow the Holy Spirit. Because in that 40 years, God trained them to follow the Spirit. And how the Spirit appeared to them, it was a pillar of fire by night, and then it was a cloud that covered them and protected them by the day. And whenever the Spirit moved, they had to follow it, or they got left behind. And they would not have food or nourishment and the things that they needed to take care of themselves. That's how important it is for you and I to really learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about this, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because, you know, God knows our future. And he's the one who's going to bring that to pass. And as a pastor, I think my time is better spent working on your present. Because our present affects our future. See, there's several things that can affect our future. We know our past can, because our past affects our present because it wants to repeat itself if we don't do something about it. But then also, what we do in the present is going to have an effect on our future. The policies and the procedures and the things that we do today are going to bear fruit in our future. So we're going to have the actions of what we do today, that is going to be our tomorrow. So as we look at our tomorrow, before we look at our tomorrow again, let's just see what do we need to do in the present. Because we all have a present. And that present is now. This is the area of our life where we can implement change, which is now. You know, I believe now is like a catapult. It can propel us forward, or if we're not careful, if we keep thinking about the past, it can drag us backwards. Now remember, God has a future for us. He has a hope for us. And so we need to be able to tap into that and to be able to flow with God. But to do that, we're going to have to see ourselves in a new light. Now to me, I see the now is like a launching pad, like a rocket. I believe we live in the rocket of life. And as we get a hold of that rocket, you know, for that rocket to take off, we don't want to have uneven ground. Because if your rocket is leaning to the right or to the left, when it takes off, it's going to shoot off in maybe a crazy direction. It's not going to go up. That's why we need that level ground. And there's nothing more level that you and I can get than getting into the Word of God. Because the Word of God is important in our life. We need to be balanced in the Word of God. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, God told me this, or the Holy Spirit's leading me that. But I'm here to tell you today, if what you feel God is telling you is contrary to the Word of God, that is not God telling you that. That is you dreaming it up in your own mind, or it's the devil trying to lie to you. We need to get to know the Word of God, because that's what's going to keep us safe. And if you're going to go on a rocket ride, you need to have fuel. Now, a lot of people, when they pull in the gas station, they might just throw $5 or $10 in, and they keep going back. Now, me, I don't like doing that. When I go in there, I like to fill her up. I want to make sure that if I'm going on a journey, I have enough fuel to get there. I don't want to have to pull over. And that's why we need to make sure that we are full of God's Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and working inside of us. Now, many people will doom their present by living with this kind of mentality. And that mentality is kind of like the children of Israel when they were looking and they seen the giants. And it was, what you see is what you get mentality. And the what you see is what you get mentality is kind of, they live in the El Natural mentality. Meaning if they can't see it, it must not really be there. But we all know that you and I have to live and be able to see through the eye of faith. But God condemns people to a degree, or challenges them, because there's a lot of people who hear but don't hear and see but don't see. Now, we don't need to be people like that. We need to be the people of God and being able to walk in the power of God's anointing. Now, if we're living by that mentality that if you can't see it, it ain't there, what we have operating in our life is what I like to call a limiting belief. A limiting belief. And we all have them from time to time. See, a limiting belief is a belief that is a stronghold that's been set up in our life to hold us back from getting a better future. What it really is, it's a pattern of thinking that we have developed in our life over time. And it takes a process, and it comes by just continually putting in this form of thinking, and then it causes us not to be able to see the potential that God has out there. See, it's a process that you and I have learned the way that we interpret information when it comes our way. Because we all interpret information. And some of us interpret it different ways. You know, two people can be going and looking for houses to buy. And one of them can see that house. And when they see it, they think, man, that thing's a shack. It's just a piece of junk. I don't want nothing to do with that. Now, the next person can look at that house, and they can see potential, and they buy that house, and they fix it up, and they make thousands of dollars off that same house that the other person said there was nothing there. Why? Because they could look at it, and one of them could see the potential for the opportunity, and the other one could not. The first person had a limiting belief, and that limiting belief will cause them to fall short. Now, we all are focused on something, and what our problem is from time to time is that you and I are focused on the now-past paradigm. The now-past, meaning we live our life based on what's happening now and what has already happened to us, and that is how we choose to govern our affairs. And that's not the best way to be, because God wants us to be able to change things. And what this does, it makes us to live backwards, but God wants us to live forward. Now, we need to change that to get to the now-future paradigm. Now, the now-future paradigm is we assess what we have going on now, and we try to see what we want in the future, and then we make modifications in the now so it can get us to where we need to be. Because we all need to implement new things in the now so that we'll get the future that you and I desire. So what are some things in our life that we could look at as we assess our now that might need to be changed? Maybe you feel today that you're in a dead-end job. It's not a career, it's a job. You go there, you don't like it, but you have to because you need to feed your family, and that's good. But maybe you need to consider getting more training. Maybe you need to get more training so you can get a better job. For myself, I do webinars all the time. I take advantage of the free webinars. I know they're trying to sell me something, and sometimes I may purchase the item, but a lot of times I'll just watch the webinar, and I'll glean new information, something that might help me so I can be a better pastor or a better person. And so I take advantage of that. Maybe also we need to seek God on fixing our self-image so we don't settle for a toxic relationship. You know, maybe we've been going through life living like a doormat. We've went through life and maybe people have told us you're never going to amount to nothing. You're never going to do any good. You're never going to have anything. You know, so quit trying. You might as well give up. And then what happens is you settle for toxic relationships and, you know, maybe your dad or your mom talked to you like that. And then all of a sudden you get into a relationship with somebody else and they start talking to you the same way. They're reinforcing that false picture that the enemy wants to put inside of you. He wants you to not see what God sees inside of you. So we need to change that. We need to maybe do something different. And how we do that is maybe we need to spend time to get to know the Holy Spirit so we're sensitive to His leading. That is one of the main things you can do. The Word of God and learning how to hear the voice of the Spirit should be the top two on your list as a Christian. Because if you can get those things right, the devil's not going to be able to hold you back anymore. So instead of living by the idea of what you see is what you get, perhaps we ought to change it to thinking what you can see is what you can get. And there's a difference. Because as we read the Word of God or spend time with God and we maybe start dreaming and seeing things through the eye of faith, we can see what's out there, see what our potential is, and we see what God has for us. And if we can see it, then we can go and get it. But it's going to take that change because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. So it's important to stay connected, you know, with church and with other believers and to be able, because hearing comes by an intimate connection. And if we have that connection so we can listen, then we're going to go good. Because I found out that we only hear what we want to hear, and usually we only hear what we want to hear from whom we want to hear it. Now, I think us men sitting here today could probably attest to the fact that sometimes when our wife is talking to us, trying to share something important with us, and we're watching the game, all we hear is the game. We're just so tuned into that game that we don't hear anything else going on around us. Or maybe parents, you can attest to the fact that maybe you're trying to get your kid to do some chores or to help out around the house and they're watching their cartoons and they're so focused on them cartoons that they can't really see anything or hear anything going on around the world be coming to an end and they don't know. You know, I know when I was a kid watching the cartoons, my mom or dad would be telling me something and all I heard was wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season. Duck season. You know, I love the old classic cartoons. Those are the ones that I grew up with, and I really enjoyed them. But what I've understood from that is that each of us bends the fact that we can learn to tune things out and tune into other things, that we all have an ability to focus. And see, focus is important. And if we learn how to focus our life on the things that God has for us and the things that God wants for us to do, and then He reveals to us the things that need to be changed, then we can accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. So how do we apply these principles today? Well, number one, first we need to take some time to ask God if there are any memories in our life that are causing limiting beliefs, because we all have them. You know, just get alone with God for a little bit and, you know, ask God to reveal to you some things that maybe your process of thinking and how you approach life and how you look at relationships and things, you know, maybe some of that needs some healing. And we know that God can do that. Next point we need to do is we need to take some time and we need to consider our future. I think a lot of times we don't take proper time to consider our future. And then, because, you know, if we're going to change what's going to happen in our life, we've got to really figure out, where is it we want to go? What is it perhaps that God wants us to do? So we're going to have to get sort of a plan. And when we get that plan, then, now this is the working part of it, is we need to write down some action steps on how we get there. Because this is something that we neglect to do because we're lazy. We're procrastinators. We put off. We so many times settle for what we have now because it's comfortable, perhaps, and we never want to go through the exercise of change. Now, if you and I were making a soup, and we tasted the soup, and it was a little salty, and then in a couple weeks we make that soup again, and we use the same recipe, and we put the same amount of salt in, and it tastes salty again, do we blame God for that? I hope not. No, we need to change the recipe. The problem's not with God. The problem is that we don't want to change. So I just want to encourage us today, as we're considering this new year and the new you and how we can reinvent ourselves, I just want to challenge you to be able to tap into God's presence, to be able to see what it is you want for your life, because life goes by so fast. It just seems like yesterday my kids were starting school and now all of them are out. And if we don't implement change or have some sort of a plan, life will totally pass us by and we're going to look back. And I believe that some of the things that we never accomplished, we're going to have regret. And I know that we can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens us. And we just need to give Him the opportunity to work in our lives. Let's pray.